Thank you, Brother Clifton. Thank you, church family, and singing that. Hasn't God been good to us? What a spirit of thanksgiving that we start with today, thinking about how God has met our needs and blessed us all these years. And you know what? He's still doing it, and he will continue to do it because he's a faithful covenant-keeping God. As we look tonight, or today, at Daniel chapter 10, we are going to see just how far God blesses and blesses, even when we can't even see it. Because Daniel chapter 10 introduces us to the last really big vision that Daniel has of what to expect in these last days. Chapter 10, however, doesn't tell us a whole lot about those last days, but rather is the story of how Daniel received that message through the visit of an angel. This morning, we're going to look at the angel that comes to visit Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. The message is entitled, Where Angels Tread. And as we've been doing these last few weeks through this series on prophecy, we are going to go back to the very, very beginning, to the start of it all, to look at the very early days of the war that's been raging. And I'd like to this morning to look at the war and the battle that was fought in heaven. We see Lucifer's fall in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. As we look at Isaiah 14, let me read these verses to you. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And the war in heaven began with the spirit, I will be like the Most High. Lucifer's battle plan, Lucifer's strategy, Lucifer's goal was his downfall. For who can be like unto our God? Lucifer, a created being, thinking that he could trump, that he could take the throne of heaven by waging a rebellion, by waging a war in heaven. And it's these words that have plagued us throughout our history. I will be like the Most High. As we consider Isaiah 14, we see in verse 13 that Lucifer wanted God's throne, and he wanted to be like God in verse 14. But what does he actually win in his war and his battle against heaven? He falls from heaven, and he's cast down to earth. And we see that he, instead of winning the throne, he has won the deepest depths of hell. The devil and his angels were cast out, as we see in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And it's his strategy from the very beginning. From his fall to today, we still see this spirit of the devil convincing us, deluding us, that we can be like the Most High, apart from the Most High. I realize standing here this morning in this room where we've heard the gospel preached throughout all the years of this ministry of Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, and the gospel message is this, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, he rose again on the third day, and that by turning from your sin to your Savior, putting your faith in him and asking him to save you, he will. And not that you can be like the Most High in authority, But you can be like the Most High in righteousness, not that you've earned it, but that He's given it to you. Through His grace, He laid down His life for you. You cannot be like the Most High apart from the Most High. We have a lot of systems in this world, a lot of religions that have led to conflicts in this world as man has tried to practice the devil's theology. You can be like the Most High. Be good. Do what you want. You're your own God. You make the decisions and you do you. And the great delusion that we still see in this world is that the devil is very effective at what he does. But I want to remind you that at the war in heaven, when it all broke loose, it was pride before the fall. No matter how strong we are, no matter how confident we are, if we are trying and if we are looking for hope and satisfaction in this life apart from God, oh, we'll find some pleasures of sin for a season, but we'll never find that for which we long and desire, that communion with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that comes through a personal relationship with Him. It takes a whole lot to swallow your pride, to realize who we are as the Bible describes us, sinners. The devil, not so. Because we see in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, some insight into what he was thinking when he started the fight. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Scriptures are clear. And scripture is quite plain about this fact, that the devil is a defeated foe. And though he is loosed in this day, and though he brings a lot of havoc to this world, he doesn't need a whole lot of help because we're pretty good at doing his bidding, the practice of sin in this fallen world that we live in. It's been sin that has broken this world. It's been sin that has broken our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that through Jesus, all of that is made right. And the story that we see in scriptures of the prophecy of the end times, it's all connected. I know that as we've been working through the book of Daniel, we have seen the story of what God is doing for Israel. How God is going to get Israel back to the promised land, and that He is not done with His chosen people. And we can't help but see how it all folds together in God's economy and God's design. That what was broken in the Garden of Eden by the grand deceiver, that you and I realize just how effective our adversary is. He is very effective and very good at what he has done, but he does not win. That's why when Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Scripture couldn't be any more plain. You can align yourself with a defeated foe, and you can follow his strategies, and you can follow his battle plans, but it does not end well. The devil sometimes masquerades as an angel of light. After all, we're just people. We're easily deceived. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 3, we see how the devil was so subtle and so crafty in bringing that war here to earth. Genesis 3, verses 4 through 6. The serpent says to the woman in Genesis chapter 3, after he's asked her about God's declaration of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he says unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Appealing to her sense of beauty, it looked good. Appealing to her sense of pride, God's afraid that if you eat this, you're going to know what he knows. And even though the devil was subtle and crafty and introduced this error into our judgment, it is Adam and Eve that stand accountable for our consequences and their actions. And likewise, you and I, though we inherited that nature through our father Adam, it is made right in the second Adam, Jesus, who takes our sins and deals with it. As a victorious victor over sin, over the grave, Jesus saves. And I don't want to lose sight of that message in the prophecy of the end times. And we're in a chapter where we don't see a whole lot of prophecy about the end times, but rather getting ready for the big reveal. And we see that we are engaged in the long war. It's a great war that is being waged in heaven and on earth, even this very day. In Daniel chapter 10, we see where we are headed. And depending on your perspective, we see, and the takeaway is, there is a nightmare. That nightmare is that the war is far greater than everything we see. Oh no, we are going to realize in Daniel chapter 10 that there is a war being fought which we cannot see. And the implications lead us, if we're not careful, to panic and feel like we're in the middle of a nightmare. But the dream is longing for that day when we see the war end. And the purpose that I want to share with you, the big idea this morning in Daniel chapter 10, that the war is greater than this realm. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our time in his word today. Lord Jesus, we come to you again. Oh Lord, you are the only one worthy to hear our prayers. You are the only one who cares. You came down and gave your life for us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of your Son. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for the personal comfort that you give to us. While you are with us, we long for that day when Jesus returns and we see your peace brought to earth. It was that night before Jesus arrived when the angels made the proclamation of his birth at his arrival in that lowly manger in Bethlehem. Oh Lord, today I pray that you would give us some comfort from Daniel chapter 10 of realizing what's going on behind the scenes. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Daniel chapter 10 starts out with Daniel's heartache. It's amazing to consider the heartache that Daniel is facing, because at this point in his life, Daniel is now about 85 years old. Can you identify with Daniel? Looking back over the victories of the past, looking over the defeats of the past, Daniel has not had it easy. Though he's been at a place of prominence in the kingdom, Daniel realizes that he's not going to be going back to the promised land, even though orders had just been given from the king to unlock Israel, to go back to the Holy Land, to begin to rebuild the promised land, to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple. And it's with this backdrop, and it's at that moment that Daniel is going to have this moment in Daniel chapter 10. And his heart's broken. Verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and he had an understanding of the vision. And we're seeing right here is his commentary on the vision that's going to come in chapter 11 and chapter 12. It was true, and it was going to be a long time coming, a great fight to be fought. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning, say it with me, 3 full weeks. Have you ever heard a headline that broke your heart for 3 weeks long? I know that we think about the world news and the world affairs, and maybe that doesn't break our hearts the way it should. It seems to be that we have an attention span issue. I remember several months ago, we had a conflict that broke out in the Ukraine, and we hear a little bit about that. I remember over the past 20 years, all the fighting and the conflicts that have been going on, and we'd be really interested in it, consuming all we could as far as news was concerned, watching it on television until we get to a point where we just can't take anymore, and we need to think about something happy and something pleasant, and we put that out of our mind until the next thing comes along. It stays with us for a while, but eventually we grow old of it. All right, let's consider maybe a health diagnosis. I know that hits us all in a place where it's just something that your mind just sticks to and just thinks through, and you can't get it off your mind because as long as you feel that pain and as long as you feel that ache, you know that that diagnosis is still there with you. Sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days and some days you have worse days. Have you ever found yourself so consumed with the news of your diagnosis that that's all you were able to think about and it really affected your outlook? All right, now then you can think like Daniel is thinking as his heart is broken for his people that are going back to the promised land. Wait a minute, isn't that a great thing that the people are being returned? For 3 weeks, Daniel's heart was broken, and look how far it affected him. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. For 3 weeks, Daniel was so vexed that he didn't want anything to eat, he didn't want anything to drink, and he was just so downtrodden. All he could think about was this vision, the idea of what was coming to pass and all of the trouble that his people would be going through on their way back to the promised land. And we see God sends someone to Daniel to minister to him in his time of need. Verse 4, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded up with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they all fled to themselves to hide. Daniel sees a rather impressive visitor. And did you notice what it said about his companions who were there with him by the river? That they knew something was going on, but they didn't see it. But for whatever it was that they witnessed, a bright shining light, the loud thundering boom of the voice, I don't know exactly what it was, but it caused them to flee in terror. And Daniel is the one who's standing there. Why in the world would you find comfort in someone coming that's going to scare the living daylights out of you? But God has a purpose and God has a plan. Before we read much further, I want to ask you a question to tuck away in the back of your mind. Who is this man? Oh, I know the description there. His eyes are as flames of fire. The fine linen is awfully close to the description of Jesus in the book of Revelation. I think it's a messenger. I know it's a messenger because he's coming to bring a message. But I don't think it is Jesus, and I'll explain to you in a moment why that is. Who is this man? Well, let's read on, verse 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. 3 weeks without eating or drinking, downhearted and downtrodden, and it is this visitation that does him in. Verse 9, yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And I take comfort in this mighty visitation of this angel, for there were people that were, that Daniel fell asleep, even when that booming voice, and in that moment, he collapses and falls asleep. And if you're struggling to stay awake this morning, I take myself to be in company of angels. But I look here at the passage and I realize that what happens to Daniel is he is overwhelmed and his system is shutting down. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, and understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Who was this man? He's the one who was sent down for Daniel to hear the message from God. And he's not just a messenger. We find he's also a warrior that has come to minister to Daniel in his need. Look with me at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. I'm going to start over. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And I think we find some interesting perspective in verse 13. That this messenger, this warrior message that's come to minister to Daniel, was delayed for 21 days. How many weeks is 21 days? 3 weeks. That in Daniel's angst, the Lord was sending a messenger to Daniel to minister to his needs. And he was tied up in the affairs of the realm, dealing with the prince of Persia. This prince of the kingdom of Persia makes it quite interesting to ask about him. We are quite uncertain about who the visitor is. I don't think it is Jesus, because why in the world would Jesus be delayed because of this prince of Persia while he's trying to work with the kings of Persia? No, I don't think it's Jesus. Jesus certainly was very patient with the devil when the devil takes him around and tries to tempt him. Remember his temptations, how he takes him up to the top of the temple and says, you know what, look over the lands, I'm going to give you all the kingdoms. Or, you know, Jesus looks out and sees the devil trying to tempt him. The devil wants Jesus to jump off the temple, and he says, you know, let your angels catch you. And yeah, Jesus does have some support from his angels. But the messenger here that is speaking to Daniel, this warrior messenger was delayed for 3 weeks. We're going to answer that in answering why he was there for 3 weeks, and as we try to answer who is this powerful prince of Persia. Here's what we know about him, inferred from Scripture. He is able to resist this messenger that's visiting with Daniel. He's able and he's capable putting up enough resistance to delay the messenger to go to minister to Daniel. He is an adversary of the messenger. He's able to resist him. He's able to delay him. And he is also purpose to influence the kings of Persia. I don't think we're dealing here with a man. And I know that we're not dealing with an angel. Remember a few months ago when you read in Revelation? We're not dealing with an angel. Most likely we're dealing with a fallen angel. And what influence does this prince hold? What was the strength or the purpose of his ministry to, or his deception to, the kings of Persia? Why, he's going to bring hostility to Israel. Remember, it was Cyrus that makes the decree that the Israelites can go back to start to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple. And the prince of Persia, sending that advice and sending that confusion and that delusion. But let's make this a lot harder on them. You know, we're getting rid of all of our servants. We're losing a good portion of our workforce, and you're letting them go back there. And it was not going to be easy for Israel under Persia's reign, even though it just looked like things were on the up and up and things were getting better. Israel was going to be allowed to return home, as we saw in the book of Ezra. Daniel is still here by the riverbank. He is not going back, and his heart's troubled. And the reality and the question that we must ask, if this prince of Persia, who's not a man and who's not an angel, has such an influence, how in the world is he going to be able to stand up against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is he indeed unstoppable? Well, when Michael comes to bring aid, the messenger is freed to go bring Daniel the word. Now look with me at verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. The purpose of the angel's visit. To let Daniel know that the task of rebuilding the Holy Land would not be easy. There is going to be some political trouble for the children of Israel. It wasn't going to just be political as far as policy. It was actually going to be persecution. There was going to be fighting. Do you remember how Nehemiah, what strategy they had to use in rebuilding the temple? Remember how they had trowels in one hand and swords in another as they worked throughout the night to rebuild the temple? It was not going to be easy. And it was not going to be trouble-free. But Daniel's going to receive a vision that is much bigger than just dealing with the immediate days to follow. And Israel is going to face more trouble in the days to come. Not just in Daniel's lifetime, but beyond. Now, Daniel's 85. To think about the Israel's trouble being a little bit of my lifetime left, maybe a little bit after my lifetime, but the vision that God gives Daniel of what God is doing and the conflict that is going to come upon God's people is going to be much longer than you think, Daniel. The angel provides comfort to Daniel. How severe was this vision anyway that he actually receives? It must have been awesome enough, and it clearly is awesome enough, that it brings Daniel anxiety. I said that word, anxiety. You ever struggled with anxiety? Do you know that debilitating feeling like you have a hard time breathing? That debilitated feeling like you just, the outlook, and it all looks hopeless. That debilitating feeling that can literally shut down your system as you just don't even know how to respond. Daniel is at this place as we look at Daniel 10 verse 15. And when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of man touched my lips and opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. We see the ministry now of this warrior messenger. In David, overwhelmed with the visit, Daniel, overwhelmed with the vision, the minister comes to comfort Daniel's broken heart. Because Daniel understands that trouble is coming, more trouble is on the way. And here's how the messenger comforts. There came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Notice what the angel says to Daniel. Be strong. Be strong. Daniel, you need to be strong. You need to be very strong, because the words are difficult. Because the days of the head are not easy. And yes, this visitation is overwhelming. But more so, the overwhelming events to come for Israel. And stop. Because we know the pattern of prophecy that we've seen. We've got some understanding that there's a great war coming, that there's a great battle coming, how that Israel is going to be restored. Yeah, that's God's promise. We've seen that. But we find here the reality of what Daniel is coming to terms with, that the battle is longer and greater than you think. If you are looking at your eyes with your eyes and you're reading the headlines, you're listening with your ears to the news, if you look around you at the state of affairs of this world, it is difficult and it is bleak in Daniel's day, even though it seems to be that things are on the up and up, that the children of Israel are going home. A corollary and a connection to today, when you and I look around with us, the developments that go on in this world, we see great tragedies take place. We see great epic weather events that will come and bring destruction. There's a lot that overwhelms us. We get overwhelmed with the cost of buying and selling and the goods that we need to acquire. We can't find them because, quite frankly, they're not on the shelf where we like to shop. And the little things set us back when we just look around us. And what we see is we see a whole lot of problems. And get this, we're only looking in this realm, the physical realm, not fully aware that there is a whole nother realm beyond this physical world. The realm where angels tread. The realm where this warrior messenger and Michael resist the prince of Persia. There is a spiritual realm where this battle is being waged as well. The battle is not just local to you or I alone. The battle is bigger than you or I. The battle is about what God is doing for his chosen people, Israel, yes, and how that God's Son is the victor. And after all of this, when Daniel sees this visitor who appears before him, who looks like a man, after coming to the terms and the reality is the messenger's message to him was be strong, be very strong. Guess what the angel does? Look at me, verse 20. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. And we find here two realities. Daniel, I'm here for you right here and right now. And I'm going to go back and pick up this fight against the prince of Persia. Apparently this prince, this demonic fallen angel, has the ability to influence the king's judgment and the king's decision. How that there is this supernatural effect, the supernatural war that's being fought between this visitor, this angelic visitor, and the demonic prince of Persia. And after he comforts Daniel, he's going to go back and resume the fight. But what he says has got to make you sink a little bit deeper. It's like getting a diagnosis that things aren't looking good. And then you get another diagnosis that there's more trouble to follow. Because he says, and lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. There is a spirit that's influencing the affairs of the kings of Persia. And there's going to be a spirit behind that empire of Grecia that we see will rise up to bring persecution to Israel once more. And for Daniel, the implication is that the battle is going to be longer and it's going to be greater than you think. More trouble is on its way. There's more trouble to come. How do you and I handle news, bad news, when you and I are already covered up with bad news? I know exactly how I respond. My system seems to shut down like Daniel's, and I get numb and I get dumb. And some of you say, you're always dumb. Amen. But I think to what Daniel is doing here, and the reality of this moment, is that the visitation is going to be far more implications for us to realize what's going on behind the scenes. That God is not done. Just when we look at history to answer history's question, but we realize that there is a whole other realm out there where the war and the battle is being waged. We look at verse 21. But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, say it with me, but Michael, your prince. All right. So we do know something about Israel's prince. It's Michael, God's warrior, who is waging this war, protecting God's people at God's orders. And Daniel is not going to have to worry about what happens after he's passed from the scene. After all, we're only humans, and how much conflict can you take? For Daniel to be over Babylon, for Daniel to have witnessed the events of what he stood up against, you would just think that for Daniel to be at this stage of his life, it's where he gets to take the easier road, where life seems to get a little easier for him. But rather, God is revealing him that there is a whole lot more in store. How much conflict could you take? Hearing the news, if you were in Daniel's shoes, how long would you be able to fight alone? Because remember, Daniel had some really strong victories we saw in his life in the narrative passages early on in Daniel, how he stood for God. But is there a point that you get to where you're fighting, where you're standing for the right, where you're standing up and you're resisting the spirit of wickedness in our community, in our state, in our nation, in the affairs of this world? Does there come a point where we say, it's just too big of a problem and I just got to give up and I'm just going to throw my hat in and I'm just going to surrender and I'm just going to get in line and just be like the rest of the problem? That's not what Daniel's expectation is. That's not what is right for God's people to do. To lose hope, to think that the darkness is winning. To lose hope and think that the war is unwinnable. To lose hope and to think that we fight alone, because we do not. And the angel said, Daniel, be strong. Be very strong. Because you do not fight alone. And Michael, your prince. No, we look at Daniel chapter 10. Before we even get to the prophecy, there's words of encouragement, words of hope. The battle, yes, is longer and greater than you think. As a matter of fact, Paul writes to this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You and I think that the battle is overwhelming when we fight against what we can see. But there is a whole lot more going on. You and I are in the midst of a war that has been raging. A war that began in heaven and will end when Jesus casts the devil into that lake of fire, into the depths of that pit that are reserved for him. Daniel chapter 20, verse 21, I want to repeat this last statement with you. "And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince." You do not fight alone. I know I made a connection about a health diagnosis earlier. And I know as believers, it's important for us to bear one another's burdens and to pray for one another. While you may be going through a difficult place, know that you are not alone. You got a family who loves you, who cares for you, who's praying for you. And then on the other side, there's a contingent of heavenly hosts that we do not even see all of the connection and how God provides his graces and his protections, but we see the results. That while life is hard and difficult, we do not know all of the griefs that God has spared us from. But, O child of God, in knowing Jesus, you and I do not fight this fight in our own strength or alone, for he is with us. And if there's a message that I could impart to you this morning from Daniel chapter 10 with a spirit of thanksgiving, it is this: Jesus will return soon. Jesus is coming soon. So don't give up. Don't give in. Don't fall. Be strong. Be very strong. Our response this morning is this. Remember at the beginning of the hour, our big point: the war is greater than this realm. We've seen from Daniel chapter 10 some implications. That there's a whole lot more, and this world is a whole lot more complex than we really realize. I know just trying to navigate the headlines can be overwhelming, but consider what all God is controlling and what God is over. We're going to have some questions to answer. God, how could you allow this to happen to your people? And we know that he is good, and he is good all the time. And we don't understand how the defeated devil could be loosed for the season that he is loosed, waging this war and bringing division and bringing his deception and his divisiveness. But we do know, and scriptures are quite clear, that his days are coming to an end. And knowing the outcome, we know that the war is already over. The day is coming when Jesus comes soon. In a few weeks, we'll be looking at Jesus coming as our Savior. And we look forward to that day that he returns as our Sovereign. For Daniel, and for you and I, our hope is not tied to the strength of our world affairs or the climate that we live in. If you and I have a fair weather faith that is built upon how well things seem to be going, and we just want life to be peaceful and easy, well, we've missed the harsh realities of living in this fallen world. It's not always easy. As a matter of fact, hold on. It's probably going to get a little bit worse before it gets a whole lot better. So reject Babylon's values. All those people over the years who've decided to give up and to give in and to stumble or to fall away because it just seems to be that the war is too big and the fight is too hard, I challenge you this morning, reject that mindset that you can develop in Babylon. The powers of this world are pretty great, pretty powerful, and satisfying enough. I'll just cash out now. But no, Jesus is coming soon. Be strong. Be very strong. We need to make up our mind about what is right. Because our climate and because our culture shifts today in a direction that we're not comfortable with or familiar with, remember what God says in His Word is true. As He sent the angel to testify to Daniel about the reality of the vision that we're going to dig into in chapter 11 and chapter 12, God is not done in this world. And you and I can serve Him day in and day out with the confidence that what He is doing, He knows. And what He is doing is good. And that you and I have a part to play by being His faithful servants day in and day out. Not turning to the left, not turning to the right. Not stumbling, not giving in. But being strong and being very strong, not in our own strength, but in the strength that only He can give. So should you get a diagnosis, be strong. Be very strong. Not that you're strong enough to beat it, but that you are not alone. Because there is a Heavenly Father and His loving Son, our beautiful Savior Jesus, who knows right where we're at. Daniel chapter 10 is dealing with Israel's hope. Returning back to the promised land, and it's not going to be easy. And that's a reminder that we should not fall away when times get tough or discouraging. Even though our heart may be broken, the best place to be is not running from God, but running to Him. And with the spirit of Daniel chapter 10, may this be our prayer this morning. Jesus, keep me in this fight.